Well, it is so good to have you here today. Thank you for being a part of the gathering this morning here at the Owosso campus. We're delighted to have you with us. We are diving into another week of our series called Your Next Step. And this is the sixth week we have been in this series, and we're just talking about what it looks like for you and I to take our next step with Jesus. All of us are at different points in our spiritual journey, and so there are steps the Holy Spirit leads us to take, and our hope is that we can encourage each other through God's Word about the next step that we need to take with Jesus today, this week, this month, in our lives. I wonder if any of you have heard of a lady named Rosie Ruiz. Have you ever heard of her? Let me tell you a little bit about Rosie in case you don't know her and you haven't heard her story. On April 21st of 1980, Rosie Ruiz, at the age of 26, finished first in the women's division of the Boston Marathon with a time of 2 hours, 31 minutes, and 56 seconds. She was hauling freight. She was rewarded with all of the accolades and all of the fame that comes with winning one of the most prestigious races in the world. However, questions began to bubble to the surface almost immediately after she finished the race. And 8 days later, after the officials reviewed all of the information they had and all of the people that were on the sidelines and runners who were in the race, they actually stripped her of her victory because they discovered that Rosie actually didn't run the whole race. She actually jumped out of the crowd at about 25-mile mark, and she ran the last mile. The last mile. Finished first and received the awards until the truth was discovered. After they investigated a little bit more, the officials discovered that she actually never even qualified for the Boston Marathon because her race time from the New York City Marathon was also a fraud. In that race, she used a little different tactic. Rosie, in that race, actually started at the start line with all the other runners, and then she took a quick detour onto the New York City subway. She rode the subway almost to the end of the race, got off the subway, and crossed the finish line with some of the other runners, qualifying in time to be able to qualify for the Boston Marathon. I read her story, and I read a little bit more about her life just this week, actually. And she lived a tragic life. She lived almost all of her life in a fraudulent way, pulling the wool over people's eyes in one way or another. But as I thought about that particular part of her life, running the race, or actually not running the race, I thought about, here's a lady who evidently wanted to run a world-class time, but actually she wasn't willing to do the training to run an elite time. She wanted to finish a race and be celebrated without actually running the race. She was looking for a shortcut, looking for a detour, looking for a way to get to the end without actually doing the daily steps you have to take to run a marathon. It reminded me that so often in our lives, we are told there is a shortcut to get where you want to go. We're told, you know what? There's a way to work around the really tough stuff. So get the workaround, do the shortcut, skip a few steps. Don't do the daily things you need to do. You'll eventually get where you want to go. But we really know intuitively, I think, that our destination is ultimately determined by the direction we go every single day. And so you and I will never get where we want to go if we're not willing to do the daily things to get there. We're talking in this series about taking daily steps with Jesus. We're talking about what it looks like for you and I to run the race that God has set before us. And I want to remind you of the foundational scripture that we've been using throughout this series, and we're going to continue to use it for the next 2 weeks as we finish out the series. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, and we're going to look at just a part of that this morning. Remember these words? The writer says, "Run with endurance the race God has set before you." And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion, who initiates and perfects our faith. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. How do you run with endurance? One day at a time, keeping your eyes on Jesus. Some of the steps that we have to take in this race are, we take a step to know Christ. Christ has taken every step he can towards us, except for that final step where you and I have to, with our own free will, open our hearts and receive him. We know Christ. We take that step. We take a step towards living in freedom. Freedom from the guilt of sin and freedom from the hurts and hang-ups and habits that would enslave us in this life. And we take a step, as we talked about last week, into our God-given purpose. Because God has set a race before us. None of us are here by accident. None of us are just running in circles. No, our lives are not random. They're not accidental. Our lives are on purpose. God has given us a purpose. And we discovered last week, as we looked at this God-given purpose that we all have in common, we discovered that every single one of us, God created for significance, not just for survival. We're created for significance, not just survival. We're not created just to consume resources here on this planet. We're not created just to breathe and eat and take up space. God actually designed us to make a difference. We talked last week about the fact that we will never, ever be satisfied with making a dollar when God designed us to make a difference. We'll always find ourselves wondering what else there is, what other place we could find meaning and fulfillment if we're just worried about a dollar, because that's what God designed you for. He designed you to make a difference. Now, we know that we're very unique people. We are very, very unique, and yet we have a lot of things in common. In fact, 99.9% of our DNA we all have in common. It's the 0.1% that actually brings us all of our uniqueness. And we have some uniqueness with our spiritual DNA as well. But there is something we have in common, and that's this ultimate purpose that God gives to us. Let me just remind you, God has designed every single one of us in all of our uniqueness. He's designed us to do life with Him. And with all of the other things that you do in life, you were designed primarily to do life with God, living fully devoted to Jesus. You are designed to do life with others. Jesus said you're supposed to love God with everything that you are, fully devoted to Him, and then you love others unconditionally. Jesus said your purpose in life is to love God and it's to do life with others. And then Jesus also said your purpose, a purpose we share in common, is that we're going to do life sharing the good news of Jesus. Jesus said a couple of different times just before He went back to heaven, He said, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to tell people about me everywhere. And we talked about the fact last week that being a witness is not so much what you do, it's who you are. You live your life as a story of the way God can change a heart and change a life. We all have that purpose in common today. But how in the world do we actually go about living out that purpose every single day? Do we try to pull a Rosie Ruiz and find a shortcut or a detour? Or do we actually determine that if I'm going to get to where I want to be with Jesus, and if I'm going to run with endurance, then there are some things I'm going to need to think about on a daily basis to run this journey well, to run this race with endurance? Well, there's a lot of things we could say this morning, but I want to give you just a few from Scripture. Things that you and I need to do on a daily basis if we're going to live out our ultimate purpose and live out our unique purpose that God designed us for. So let's just think about it real quickly. I want to point your attention to the book of Philippians. It's a little book in the New Testament written by the Apostle Paul. It was written, as best we know, about 61 AD. And so that's about 30 years after Jesus was crucified and rose again. So Paul is writing this letter to Christians living in this city at that time known as Philippi. He had visited there in about 51 AD. And so 10 years later, he's writing this letter back to the church, and he's trying to encourage them in what it looks like to really follow Jesus on a daily basis. And if you find in your Bible Philippians chapter 2, and you begin with verse 3, we're going to read a little longer section today than we typically do. Philippians 2, verse 3, here's what Paul is trying to encourage them in. He says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others. And then he says, verse 5, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God. He died a criminal's death on the cross. And therefore, God elevated him to the highest place of honor and gave him a name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth. And every tongue will declare Jesus is Lord. Every tongue. Every tongue in heaven and on earth, under the earth, will declare Jesus is Lord. Verse 12, he says, dear friends, follow these instructions. You always have followed my instructions, so follow them now, even though I am away from you. Work hard to show the result of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing so no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. And he goes on with those same kind of thoughts. Here's what it looks like, he says, Christians. Here's what it looks like, those of you who are trying to follow Jesus. Here's what it looks like for you on an everyday basis to live out your God-given purpose. So let's unpack it. Let's unpack it just a little bit. I would suggest to you that Paul is declaring that if we're going to live out our purpose every single day, we have to constantly, daily, allow God to work in us and to work through us. Did you see what he said in those verses of Scripture? He said, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Now, I want to make sure you hear that verse correctly, because you could, if you weren't listening clearly, you could think that Paul might be saying you're supposed to work your way into God's good graces, or you're supposed to work your way into heaven, and that is not what Paul is saying. Absolutely not. Paul says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. So he says, if you are really a follower of Jesus, you have accepted Jesus Christ by faith. You've accepted him by faith. The work that he did on the cross, you believe he did for you. You've received him. In another passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you've done. None of you can boast about it. Paul says, salvation is all about God. But he also says you need to give your very best effort to just following Jesus through the help of the Holy Spirit every single day. So you are letting God work in you and work through you every single day. Every single day, you and I make this investment to follow Jesus. Every single day, we surrender our hearts and our minds and our work, and our talents, and our ability to Jesus, so that he can continue to shape us and mold us and work in us. And as he works in us, then he can actually work through us. You know, some of you are really, really close to perfect, but you're not there yet. We will need the Holy Spirit to continue to work in us. Every single day there's going to be growth. And if you ever think you have made it, just talk to somebody else and they can tell you where you're falling short. Sometimes other people have a clearer picture of us than we do of ourselves. We always need to grow. We always need to be moving forward. We always need to be learning. So Paul says, every single day, let the Spirit of God continue to work in you. And as He works in you, then you can begin to work that out in your daily life. And you can learn to follow Jesus more fully and completely as a husband or a wife or a father or a mother or a son or a daughter or an employee or an employer or as a teacher or a student or whatever it is that God's placed you at right now. You can continue to let God work in you so that He gives you the desire more and more to follow Him and be His light in the world everywhere you are. And when you and I let the Holy Spirit work in us like that on a daily basis, it begins to so transform us. It transforms our attitude and it transforms our relationships. In fact, Paul says very, very clearly, if you want to live out your purpose every single day, then you need to live with an attitude that reflects Jesus Christ. He just says it so clearly. Live with an attitude that reflects Jesus Christ. There's no way that you can reason away those words of Scripture because they're so clear from Paul. Paul says, here's what it looks like. It looks like even though Jesus was God, He didn't cling to that part of Himself. Instead, He gave up the divine privileges and actually took upon Himself the humble position of a human being, even a slave. He appeared in human form, and He was willing to go to the cross and die a criminal's death. Jesus lived out humility. Do you know Jesus absolutely transformed the ethics of the ancient world? He transformed them because the Greeks considered humility to be the very lowest virtue, and Jesus made it the highest. Personal gain, that was the bottom line goal for many people in that world. It's the bottom line goal for many people in our world today. But Jesus said, ultimately, your highest goal is not what you can gain, but how you can serve. With His life and His death, Christ, he actually violated and turned upside down every tenet of the world's system. Think about this. The one worthy of all worship and the source of all power was born as a helpless baby in a dirty animal stable. The highest came to serve the lowest. The Creator and the Sustainer of all things came to pour Himself out. The one who possessed everything became nothing. From the world's perspective, the cross, it became a symbol of foolishness, but from the Heavenly Father's perspective, it's a sign of victory. Jesus humbled Himself. And Paul says, if you want to live out your purpose every single day, if you want to follow Jesus daily with endurance, then you do it not with arrogance. You do not do it filled with pride over yourself. You don't do it as a jerk. You do it following the example Jesus set. Now I want to remind you that Jesus doesn't have a problem with seeing His followers in place of honor. He doesn't have a problem with that. Jesus doesn't have a problem if His followers are wealthy. What concerns Jesus is the way you and I work our way through the mobility structure, upward mobility structure of this world. And the world says, you need to promote yourselves like crazy. You need to build your personal brand. You need to advance your own cause. You need to push your own agenda. The end goal is always to make more money, to get more power, to get more possessions, to feed your self-indulgence. But that's not what God says is the priority for your life. Because when you and I make self-indulgence the priority of life, it always leads to self-destruction. So Paul says, live in a counterculture way. Follow the example of Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with being famous. There's nothing wrong with making a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with having possessions. But James says it like this: humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. He will lift you up in honor. Humility is not a place on the org chart. It reflects the disposition of our heart. You can be a CEO and you can be humble. You can be a CEO and filled with pride and be a jerk. You can be among those who lack all status and have no formal titles, and you can still be a jerk. Or you can be humble. Humility is seeing yourself and God and others in proper perspective. Humility is not a lack of confidence. Humility is not low self-esteem. Humility is not being everybody's doormat. No. Humility is actually confidence bathed in the Spirit of God, which allows you and I can be who God designed us to be. And we can build a company, and we can build a business, or we can be great at whatever it is that God has called us to be. But we don't do it for our own personal gain. We do it to serve, because that's what we're designed to do. We're not designed just to make a dollar. We're designed to make a difference. We're not designed just for survival. We're designed for significance. And when we take upon ourselves the attitude of Jesus, it puts us in a position where you and I, daily as we follow Jesus, we want to do it in a way that lets God work in us and through us, and we want to do it in a way that reflects the attitude of Jesus. And when people look at us, they don't just see us, but they see somebody who Jesus is working in and working through. I love a quote by Pastor Steve Shogren. He used to pastor in Cincinnati, Ohio. He's since moved on from there. But Steve said, "We love and we serve and we care for others because that's the normal behavior for somebody who is filled with God's Spirit." We're Christians, Christ followers, and Christ was the ultimate servant. And we literally can't help but serve others because the spirit of the ultimate servant is what fills our hearts. He said, when we actually serve one another and love one another, we're actually just being who God created us to be. It's the most natural thing in the world for a follower of Jesus. So if we're going to follow Jesus, if we're going to live this out in our daily life, well, we've got to live letting the Holy Spirit work in us and through us. We've got to live with an attitude reflecting Jesus, like Jesus. And let me throw one other one to you based on Scripture. We need to use every day our God-given shape. Our God-given shape. And shape actually is an acronym, and I'll give you what it means here in just a minute. But let me just remind you of some words in Scripture that talk about the uniqueness that each of us share, or the uniqueness that each of us have. We've already talked about what we have in common, what the uniqueness each of us have. In 1 Peter chapter 4, there's this passage. It goes like this, verse 10, 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. So use them well to serve one another. And then Peter talks a little bit about what some of those gifts look like. He says, do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. Romans 12 is another passage that talks about this uniqueness that God has given to us. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Paul says, in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. And he talks about a few of those. It's not intended to be an exhaustive list, but he just mentions a few. He says, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, then speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. If the gift is giving, then give generously. If God's given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. If He's given you the gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. There's all sorts of scriptures that talk about those unique things that God places into our heart and into our life. And every one of us in this room today, every one of us listening online, and every one of us at the St. John's campus, every one of us have this unique shape that God has given to us. 99.9% of our spiritual DNA is the same. But there's this uniqueness. The uniqueness that God has placed into each of us. And so if you think about living out your God-designed shape, you think about things like a spiritual gift. That's what the S stands for, spiritual gifts. A lot of you have heard me say this before, but we need to listen to it again, I think. What has God actually gifted you to do? What has He gifted you to do? What are the gifts that He has placed inside of you? And when you look at yourself, you say, this is something that God has equipped me, helped me, given me, so that I can do in my life. Some of those gifts you may have seen in your life earlier, but some of those you may have sensed the Spirit of God just give you a gift that maybe you didn't know you had before, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit places something inside of you, and you realize, wow, with God's help, I can do this or that or the other thing. And I'm not going to get into all the spiritual gifts today. I just want to ask you, what is it the Holy Spirit has gifted you to do? That helps you know how to live out your unique purpose. The H stands for your heart. For your heart. Every single one of us have things, passions, things that make our heart beat fast. Things that when you're doing them, you realize, man, this is what I was born for. Have you ever had that moment where you're doing something and you realize, this is what I was born to do? It's that passion that God has placed inside of you. Sometimes it's awfully hard to wrap our brain around that. But what is it that God has designed you to do? You sense it deep down inside of you. Those are the things that keep you awake at night, not because you're worried, but because you're so excited about it. It's what will call you out of your comfort zone because you realize, good night, this is the thing that God actually wired me for, and I could do this every day for the rest of my life. I'm so passionate about it. You think about your spiritual gifts. You think about your heart. You think about your abilities. Your abilities. And the question that goes with that is just, what do I naturally do better than others? What do I naturally do better than others? And it's not being arrogant to admit that. It isn't being arrogant to admit that. I think about this, and I always think about my wife, Val, and how she loves kids. And a lot of you know Val, and you know she is like world class with kids. That's why she was a teacher, and that's why she serves in our kids' ministry in the nursery all the time. She loves kids. Put her in a room with kids, and she is alive. Put me in a room with kids, and I'm looking for the exit. I love my own, and I love my grandkids now. But good grief. If you want to see terror in the nursery with a poopy diaper, I'm looking for the exit quick. You put Val in there and she's alive. She just naturally is wired up to do that, and I'm not. It's okay to admit if you're gifted and you can do something better than somebody else can do, because you didn't get that on your own. God gave you that. And so as you think about living out your unique shape, you think about your spiritual gifts, and you think about your heartfelt passion, you think about your abilities, you think about your personality. How has God actually wired you up to navigate life? And I'm not going to do a whole psychology thing for you today. You don't need me to do that. But all of us know we fall somewhere on the spectrum of introvert or extrovert, or maybe you're right smack in the middle. I hear that psychologists have now created a new term with ambivert, if you are like right kind of in the middle. But if you're an introvert, you tend to do better if you have alone time and you don't need a team around you maybe so much. If you're an extrovert, man, you want people everywhere all the time. We all know there's things like being sanguine and choleric and melancholic and phlegmatic and all of those different personality kind of profiles that you have gone through. We've done some of that stuff earlier in other message series. But you have a personality and you didn't get it by accident. God gave you that. And He gave you gifts. And He gave you heartfelt passion. And He gave you abilities. They combine with your personality and they include your experiences. Your experiences have shaped you into who you are today. You may wish that you wouldn't have had to go through all the stuff that you've gone through in life, but because we serve a God who is faithful, we discover that this God who is faithful can use all of the experiences we have had in our life and shape us into a person He can use uniquely at this moment in time. There is a place for you in this world that is uniquely designed by God for you. There's a place for you that God uniquely designed for you, and He gave you a shape so that only you can fit that spot. And for you to live out your purpose every single day is for you to embrace the ultimate purpose God gave to you. To do life with Him and to do life with others and to live sharing His story. And it's also to walk every single day in that ultimate purpose the way that God uniquely designed you. I think about our church family, and it's just a good illustration. It's just a good illustration of the world at large. In our church family, there's all sorts of wonderful people. Unique people. People who allow the church to be all that God designed it to be. And we're still trying to figure out how to be all God designed us to be. We're never going to fully figure it out until Jesus comes back again. We're going to keep working on it, keep moving forward, keep figuring it out. How do we live out the mission God has given to us? But we do know this. If we're going to live out the mission God has given to us to offer real hope to real people in this real community and in real community in the church, then it takes all of us embracing God's ultimate purpose, and it takes all of us living out that purpose every day in the unique way that God designed us. And there are some wonderful people in our church who make us feel welcome every morning when we come in at the front doors or the fellowship doors, center doors. And there are people who do coffee and serve in kids' ministry and student ministry and play and sing and run tech and run cameras and get stuff online. There are people who are here during the week cleaning and getting things ready. People who host different things and lead different small groups. The church cannot be all that God designed it to be unless you and I embrace God's ultimate purpose and then we embrace our unique purpose. And we live it out. And that, the church, is a microcosm of all of different pieces of life. Your family needs you to embrace God's ultimate purpose. And then your family needs you to live out your unique purpose. Your family needs you to embrace the ultimate purpose and needs you to embrace your unique purpose. They need your gifts and your abilities and your passion and your experiences and your personality. Your family needs that to be all that God desires it to be. Our community needs us to just be who God designed us to be. The place where God has planted us for our employment or for our career, that place needs us to be all that God designed us to be. That place where God has put us, where you may or may not be happy about it, but it's where you are right now. That place is the place where God has positioned you to live out your purpose for this season of your life. I just wonder if you're willing to just say, God, with all that I am, the good and the bad, the things I'm excited about and the things I wish were different, I'm bringing all of that to you. And I'm going to embrace your ultimate purpose for my life, and I'm going to figure out how I can serve and love and care and live out the ultimate purpose in my own unique way. And that might be serving in the church somewhere. Always places for you to do that. That might be serving in the community or both. That might be taking a step forward in your family and actually allowing God to use you in your family in the way that He's designed you. I don't know where it is, but I know this. The world needs you. Your family needs you. Do not settle for surviving when God designed you for significance. Make a difference. Don't just make a dollar. Let's pray together. So Jesus, we're so grateful for who You made us to be and designed us to be. And there are people in this room who You designed. You designed to be leaders. They lead their families, or they lead in a company or business, or they lead in the classroom. And God, I pray that You would just help them step into that, to embrace that under the umbrella of Your ultimate purpose for them. There's others who've been given the gift of teaching and cleaning and serving and hospitality and working with kids and teenagers or older adults. Just all these different variety of things. You've blessed us with all of these things. And God, I pray that You would help us just to be willing to step into the purpose You've designed us for. Help us be willing to say, yes, God, You can take my life. And I'm going to use it for You. I'm going to build a business for You. I'm going to lead this classroom for You. I'm going to lead this school for You, this bank for You, this company for You. I'm going to be an employee that lives out Your purpose and shares Your story just by the way that I live and the place that You've planted me. God, there's so much variety in the room today. And I know that it's not by accident. I know You've placed it all here and You've placed it in us because You need us for this moment, for this time, for this place in history. And we just pray this week that You would help us to embrace Your purpose. And may the world be different. Our little corner of the world, may it be different, because we're allowing You to work in us and through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.